Hello and welcome back to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business that my wife and I own and operate. There we can do your car by hand, and also there you are able to listen to these Bible teachings. You can just tune to 107.1 FM. We play them on a loop throughout the business day. And they're on a small transmitter, so they they broadcast basically in the parking lot of the area that we're located here. We're on Highway 11W in Church Hill, and we're in the Palace Shopping Center. And we encourage you to come by and to support this ministry by letting us take care of your car. Well, with that being said, if you have any other questions or information about the ministry, you can go to our website. It's washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. We're going to pick it up where we left off, because that's what we do as a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. And we're going to start in chapter 13 here in a moment. And Jesus has just finished his public ministry. He knows that his time is coming to be crucified. And he let out a final plea, as we read in verse 44 of chapter 12, that it says that Jesus cried out. And then from there, it goes on to explain that, you know, this may be the last opportunity for these people who are hearing him to accept him and to be counted as one of God's children, and then, of course, being saved on that final day of judgment. And that same cry is continuing for thousands of years now, and it goes out to those of us who have yet to those of you who have yet to maybe accept Christ, or those of us who have accepted Christ but have been living just a very vanilla type Christianity. And Jesus is calling us today, and I believe, just like his ministry was coming to a close, and that's why it says that he cried out. It was such passion in his plea. And I think today the same cry goes forth in the same passionate way, because, friends, we are in these very last days. There is not a lot of time left, and you cannot expect tomorrow to be there. It isn't something that you should take for granted. The Bible says in the book of James that we are nothing but a vapor, a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. So don't wait till your life is almost over to turn it over to Jesus. If you're at all open to the thought, the idea that this Christianity might have something real to it, I implore you, make it the day that you turn your life over to Christ. Make it today. And friends, if you're already a Christian, but you've been living a very vanilla type Christianity, today's the day to make a strong commitment to Christ, to turn over those things in your life that you know to be opposing God and His Word. Turn over those things in your life that have been hindering you, and it's time to step forward, because in these last days, folks, God is looking for an army. Not just wishy-washy Christians who have been built up over the years in the countless congregations that are rarely teaching out of the Word, let alone verse by verse. There are innumerous churches and congregations that gather together and barely get into God's Word. And friends, those are the kind of churches that are not going to be able to stand in these last days. God wants true warriors who are not afraid to stand up for the truth, even in the face of what is now called hate speech or hypocrisy or bigotry or inequality, whatever you want to call it. When you stand up for the truth of the things in the gospel and in all of God's Word, you're going to come under fire. But listen, we're not here to please man. We're here to please God. And God is looking for warriors. And I pray that these verse-by-verse Bible teachings are bringing you into an area of your life where you decide, yes, you want to be a warrior for Christ. With that being said, let's get back to the Word. That's chapter 13, verse 1 of the Gospel of John. And speaking of warriors for Christ, he is now back with his 12 disciples. He has left the public scene, the public ministry, and he is about to enter into the final days of his life. And here we go into the Last Supper. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 13. It says, "It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." Let's stop right there, because the subheading of chapter 13 in my Bible says, "Jesus washes his disciples' feet." In the end of verse 1, we just said it, now he's ready to show them the full extent of his love. And I find it interesting that the full extent of Jesus' love is in serving. And friends, that's exactly what Jesus was doing in showing us an example that if we want to extend God's love, if we want to take it and show it to a dying world, well, it's done primarily through serving. And so, yes, Jesus is going to serve his disciples by washing their feet, but this encompasses the whole upper room. And by far, this is the most elaborate telling of the upper room experience we find here in the Gospel of John, and probably because it was written so long after the other gospel accounts. The next five chapters in the book of John all deal with this upper room experience. That's a lot of time spent in the Gospel of John, and I believe John knew that there's a serious, there's a lot of important stuff in what Jesus is about to do in that upper room in the Last Supper. That's why the end of verse 1, again, it says, showing them the full extent of his love. And now it's going to take five chapters to show that full extent in one form or another. And so looking ahead at those five chapters, I discovered what the meanings of the words full extent of his love truly mean. And in the Greek, those words simply mean a non-ending display of love. That's pretty cool. The full extent of Jesus' love is simply translated a non-ending display of love. In these chapters, we're going to look at several different key points that demonstrate this full extent of Jesus' love. In chapter 13, we'll see him as a pastor. He'll be washing and serving. He'll be demonstrating the full humility of his kingship in a way that is just truly a humbling experience to be on the other end of. And also in chapter 13, we'll see a prediction. Not only does he predict what Judas is going to do, but he predicts what Peter is going to suffer. In chapter 14, we see a promise. This is where he promises the Holy Spirit that we will never truly be alone and that Christ never truly will leave us. So we see pastor, prediction, promise. We also see in chapter 14, persecution. He'll tell them that the world hated me and they will also hate you. And friends, you need to be ready and be expectant and be not surprised when this world comes against you for standing for truth. And finally, in chapter 17, we'll see prayer. He himself will pray, his disciples will pray, and the believers are praying and or being prayed for. So in summary, showing the full extent of the love of Christ is showing the full extent of the gospel. And when you share Jesus, when you minister to somebody and you evangelize to someone or you disciple somebody one to another, you are sharing the full and complete and whole gospel. And to share the whole gospel, it is again, it's those five P's we were looking at that we see in this upper room experience: pastor, prediction, promise, persecution, and prayer. So when you minister the word of God and the gospel message, you are being a pastor or a minister. You're sharing the gospel. And while you do that, let the Lord reveal something about that person to you. And even if you don't feel the Holy Spirit giving you a prediction or something about that person, use the book of Revelation and most of the New Testament, because in there you can find things that are going to apply to the person you're talking to that is going to either happen to them at some point or maybe has already happened to them. So you pastor them, you predict, and then you promise, promising them that God will never leave them, that Jesus' love is always going to be there, and by all means warn them of the impending persecution that they will face if they follow Christ. But make sure you put the cherry on top of prayer, and don't let that be something you forget. So, picking it back up, verse 2, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. Let's stop right there. So he strips down to basically a loincloth, which, incidentally, in that time, was a servant's attire. So he got into the clothing that a slave or a servant would be wearing. And then he does the servant's work. When a person would come to visit in those days, the servant would always wash the feet and gently bathe the people, the house guests that has come. And from Luke's account, we also know that instead of doing this as the disciples should have, they were sitting there arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And so Jesus is showing by example what true servanthood is. And quite often it's the leader's job to do the work of the servant. And this is how you lead by example. You know, I remember when I was a manager in the restaurant business, you know, when somebody dropped the ball, it was my duty to pick it up and do it the right way and to show them how to do it and how to do it right, leading by example. And so when these disciples are arguing back and forth about who's going to be the greatest, who will be sitting at your left, who will be sitting at the right, you know, they're trying to get in on the best seat possible. They look down and they see Jesus doing the most humbling, lowly thing possible. And I hope they looked at themselves and said, wait, what are we arguing about? Look what our leader, look what the Messiah of the world is doing. He's washing our feet. And even after verse 3, we see Jesus washing the feet, even of his betrayer and his denier, that is Peter and Judas. What a magnificent Savior. And this goes back to chapter 12 and verse 37, where we read, as for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. And this washing of feet is how Jesus is showing his lowly stature, but at the same time showing them where their thoughts should be. You know, this is no time to judge. Jesus isn't coming to judge them right now. If he were, he would never have washed the feet of his denier and his betrayer. No, this is a time to consecrate his ministry and to consummate his coming and to complete the mission that God has set forth. And I've said this before in one way or another, human activity will never interfere with divine action. You know, they were going on and on about, you know, where they were going to, what they were going to do. And that didn't sway Jesus at all. He still washed the feet of James and John as they argued about who would have the best seat. You know, the gospel of grace is what Jesus came to deliver, not the gospel of judgment. And human activity cannot sway the grace of God. And it cannot stop the gospel message. And it certainly cannot alter it. And all that scares you in today's economy and in the world order the way we see it now, it isn't interfering with God's plan. It's solidifying them. Jesus will not let a few betrayals or denials stop him. God's plan is right on time. It is right on cue. And it is right on the money. And it is just plain right on. So my encouragement to you is, do not let this world discourage you. Do not even let your behavior discourage you. Trust in the Lord. Rest in his plans and lay your head upon his word like a pillow and sleep well, because all is going according to plan. So friends, as this world gets darker and darker, it only lets the light shine brighter and brighter. And as I started off saying, and I'll end saying the same way, God is looking for warriors to take part in these final day trumpet blasts of truth. And when we stand for the truth, we are going against a very strong current. But what is it going to be, friends? Will you stand up for your truth, or will you bow down and start to alter the way that so many people have done? Well, I pray you stand firm. And until next time, we encourage you to continue coming back to these messages right here on WMCH at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. Have a blessed day.